I just want to talk to you a few minutes tonight about the move of God and how I, my own personal thoughts about how God is, how I know that God is moving among us right now and in recent weeks and months. And I have no doubt, I have such a strong assurance that the Lord is doing many, many things. Some of those things we have the evidence of, we see, and but other things that we have no evidence of it, we can't see on the surface that it's happening, but it is. Amen. It is. You can take this to the bank tonight. God is moving. God is moving. And let me just give you a few reasons why I am confident that God is working and moving. One reason is because Satan is fighting. He is fighting. In the midst of it all, the move of God, Satan is trying to throw things in the your pathway. He's trying to throw hindrances, discouragements, different problems that he's throwing into your pathway. And we know that this is just another law of the kingdom of God. It is something that you can always know with certainty that whenever God begins to move, that Satan begins to try to hinder it, to stop it, if he possibly can. And he'll do it in a lot of different ways. It might just be discouragement, but the enemy throws things in your pathway. Somebody said, new level, new devil. You try to step up, you try to press in, you try to seek God, you try to hear His voice, move into the things of the Spirit, pray more, and as you move up to that new level, then the enemy also, he steps up and tries to keep that from really ever happening. You raise your level of faith and vision and expectancy, and the enemy is going to step up and try to throw some blockade in your pathway. It's just a law of the kingdom. Every spiritual opportunity is always accompanied by opposition. Always accompanied by opposition. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 9, a great door and effectual is open to me, and there are many adversaries. Every new open door, every new opportunity, every new move in the direction of faith and vision, believing God and taking his word and putting your faith in it, just as soon as you begin to make those new steps forward in the things of God, then the enemy tries to hinder it and to stop it. The second reason that I know that God is moving among us here at this location, and that is first of all, Satan is fighting and God is speaking. God is speaking. And I've sensed this and recognized it, not only in my own self, but many different people who have talked to me, communicated to me about how God is working, what God is doing, and different testimonies that I've heard from you, that whenever God is wanting to do a new thing, whenever He's wanting to send a move of God, then His voice will break through. His voice will break through. You remember in the days of young Samuel, when he was just a boy, and he comes to live with the priest and in the temple, the priest should have been the one hearing the voice of God. His sons should have been hearing the voice of God. Eli should have been hearing the voice of God. No one was hearing God's voice. Instead, they were living in a way that didn't please the Lord. They were in rebellion and disobedience. They weren't hearing His voice, and so God gets His word through. In this time, it was through a young boy, young Samuel. he heard the voice of the Lord. Amen. The Lord said to Samuel in 1 Samuel 3 and 11, after he spoke to young Samuel, and he's entering into this prophetic ministry as a young man, young boy, young man, the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a new thing in Israel. I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. Amen. It's this voice of the Lord. It's going to be such a piercing voice of the Lord, word from the Lord, that everybody's going to be amazed by it. They're all going to be astounded by the voice of the Lord. And that it's going to keep resounding in their ears. It's going to be so powerful from God, so obvious that it's from God, that their ears are going to tingle. Let me tell you, God knows how to get his voice through. So I want to encourage you, number one, if you're fighting the enemy, you're on the right path to a move of God in your life. And if you'll prepare yourself to hear the voice of God, and primarily we know that we hear his voice through the word of the Lord, God's word. But be still before the Lord. Be quiet before the Lord. Be attentive to the voice of the Lord so that you can hear his voice. He's wanting to speak, and Satan is fighting. God is speaking. It's always so encouraging to me whenever I wait before the Lord. And there's been many a time, I've been around the ministry for a long, long time, and I've had big, long, 3-4-page sermon outlines, and, pretty much anybody can put together a sermon outline if you work at it hard enough. But I've been around it long enough to know that a sermon outline is not what we need. We have to hear from God. There's been a number of times that I have been waiting before a service or getting ready for a service, and I had things written down. I had ideas and spiritual thoughts many times, and even recently that I have prayed a simple prayer. Lord, I just want to hear your voice. I just want to know that what is being spoken is from heaven, that it's from God. We must hear from the Lord. Satan is fighting. God is speaking. Praise God for that God is speaking. Number three, God is stirring hearts. God is stirring hearts. If you run a reference, if you've got a Bible program, I encourage you to use the word stir or stirred and see how big of a Bible word that is. How all through the scripture that God would move upon the nation of Israel, or move upon a king, or move upon a prophet. He would stir their heart. He would stir them up. And this means that from their just kind of complacency and indifference, that somehow God would get in the middle of that thing and stir them up and cause them to realize that they needed God. That God gets in the middle of things and begins to stir us from our comfortable place. And he creates an unrest in our life so that we recognize, Lord, I need you, I need you, I need you. And that's the kind of stirring. God is stirring people. I have numbers of people that have been coming to me with different issues, different. Sometimes it's problems and needs, and sometimes I can just tell God just trying to stir people up. He is just trying to stir them up. So Satan is fighting, God is speaking, and God is stirring the hearts of people. Number four, people are coming. I don't ever remember in years having the level of visitors that are just walking into our services. Almost every service, we'll have someone or sometimes several people walking in here. Now, that doesn't just happen. That happens because God is at work. God is answering prayer, and God is drawing people by his Spirit into the house of the Lord. I went through these four things in my mind earlier today. Satan is fighting. God is speaking. God is stirring hearts, and people are coming. Praise God for that. And then I thought, they're coming. Yeah, they're coming. Thank God that they're coming. But sometimes they come and then they walk right out the door. They come and they walk right out the door. So I've mentioned four things that are evidence of the fact that God is moving. But now I want to ask you to pray with me about the fifth thing. And the fifth thing is that there will be a quickening of the Spirit. The word just means bringing things to life. A quickening of the Spirit among us. And so that this new life, I believe that people are coming because there is this great spiritual need in their hearts. And they're searching and they're longing for something. And many times they don't even know what it is that they want and what they need. But they've walked into this place and there must be among us, you know, of course, all the things we talk about from time. We need to be friendly, we need to be kind, we need to be loving, we need to, all these things are necessary. And I'm not saying that they're not. They are necessary. But even more important than all those things is there has to be a quickening work of the Spirit among us where they sense that there is life here. Something's happening among us. Something's happening here. And that they want it. And they realize that their spiritual needs can be met and fulfilled right here if they'll just seek after God. Amen. We do need the quickening of the Spirit. It's that quickening of the Spirit. The verse in Ecclesiastes 10 and 10. It says, if the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. That's a great verse. It's talking about the man that goes out with a tool like an axe to cut down tree or whatever. And the axe head is dull. And so it's saying if the iron is blunt, if it's dull, and he doesn't whet the edge, you know that you whet the edge and you sharpen the edge, you give it a keen, sharp edge so that every blow matters. It says that if not, then he must put to more strength. It just means he has to keep beating on the tree, keep beating on the log with that dull axe. And he just wears himself out and he never gets the job done. Do you ever feel that way? That you're trying really hard. You're trying real hard. You want to see revival. You want to see a move of God. You want to see your family, your lost loved ones. You want to see them all saved. And that's what we're praying for, a sweeping, mighty move of the Spirit of God. The people are coming, but there needs to be a quickening of the Spirit among us. And the iron needs to be sharp and keen. So that whenever every blow, that every song that is sung, and every prayer that is prayed, and every message, every word of messages that are preached, that they all have power behind them. And a sharp, keen edge of the Spirit. So that whenever that hearts will be smitten and lives will be affected by the work of the Spirit of God. And it cannot happen any other way. The axe head has to be, the edge has to be wet. It has to be, you have to put a keen, sharp edge on it. And when you do, then you don't wear yourself out. God does the work. The Spirit, when you put a sharp edge of the Spirit upon your ministry and the work of the Spirit that's going on here, then we won't be trying so hard and doing everything we can to try to make sure that we can touch the lives of people, and we just work at it and try, and we don't see the results that we want to see. It's because it's gotten dull. And the only thing that sharpens the edge of that is the work of the Spirit in your life and in my life. So that everything that we do for our worship and our teaching and our preaching and our singing and everything about what we're doing, that there's such a sharp, keen edge of the Spirit of God that people are affected by it. That was going on in the book of Acts. Peter stood up and preached there in Acts chapter 2. After he preached to that crowd of people there in Jerusalem, you know, you remember what happened. It says, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. It means that they were stabbed in the heart, that they were pierced in their heart. The word had such power that day, on the day of Pentecost, that their hearts were pricked and convicted and pierced by the work of the Spirit of God. Amen. Same thing happened. That's Acts chapter 2. The same thing happened in Acts chapter 5 whenever Peter preached that day. Acts chapter 5 is where he says we have to, you know, they had said to him, the religious crowd of that day had said to him, you know, and the other disciples, you can't speak in his name, stop preaching in his name, stop it. And he commanded them to not preach in the name of the Lord. And they said, we cannot not do this if we, you know, we understand that we have to obey God and not men. Amen. We have to obey God. And they went right on preaching the word of the Lord. I heard on some radio program today, we're talking about China and the missionaries of China back in the before the 50s and the 60s. The missionaries that had gone into China, and there was major numbers of British missionaries, American missionaries that had gone into China. Many of those suffered tremendous persecutions for what they were doing. And the guy I was talking, who apparently is an expert on China missions, Chinese missions, he said the most incredible thing about it was they would spend 20 years in a terrible prison. They would get out, and they said the very same hour that they got out, they were back on the street corners and on the marketplaces preaching the gospel. He said they were just tenacious and determined. You just couldn't stamp out the zeal and the fire that was in their heart. And that's why there was such a far-reaching effect by that missionary endeavor. It says, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. That crowd of people that said, we must obey God rather than men. And when they heard them say that, they were so cut to their heart and so convicted. That was their response. Also in Acts chapter 7, whenever Stephen was martyred and he had preached to that crowd, also a religious crowd that day, Acts 7 and verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Isn't that interesting? They gnashed on him with their teeth. Two different commentators say two different things about that. One commentator says that it was like that they were so overwhelmed with anger and conviction that was upon them that they were gnashing their teeth. They were just grinding their teeth. Other commentators said that they literally were bringing the blood on Stephen. So however you want to believe it, it says they gnashed on him with their teeth. Now, I'm not so sure that I really want that to happen in our services, but I do want that keen edge of the Spirit. Amen. And I have to tell you that, you know, I've been around Pentecost all my life, and I have seen people get a hold of the pew and hold on, and their knuckles turn white, and that they were so under conviction. I have seen people stand up and run out the back door. They were so under conviction. And I've also seen them stand up and run to the altar because they recognized how much that they needed the Lord. Satan is fighting. God is speaking. God is stirring hearts. People are coming. Praise God. But when they come, oh God, give us an atmosphere of the Spirit, a quickening work of the Spirit that brings life to this church and to all of our meetings, that there would be such life here that they would recognize it and sense that there's something mighty and supernatural among us, and that they would be cut to the heart, convicted of their sin, and that Holy Ghost conviction would fall upon this place and sinners would melt in the presence of God and would recognize their need. Hallelujah. God is moving. Let's not stop before we see wonderful, wonderful things that God wants to do. Mighty things that He wants to do. We're going to have to continue to pray and seek the Lord for this wonderful atmosphere, the quickening of the Spirit of God among us and convicting work of the Spirit, so that men and women are so cut in their hearts, so pierced, so convicted that they'll recognize, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I'm going to have to run to the Lord and get help in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Be encouraged because God is moving. God's moving. He is working and moving. And if you don't think He is, just push out those words of the enemy that's trying to discourage and hinder you from entering into the wonderful promises of God. And let's believe God. Amen. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Lord, I thank You that You are moving. Yes, I know, Lord, that the enemy is opposing Your work. But we know, Lord, that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And every opposing force, Lord, I know that You can bring us into victory. And we thank You for that, Lord. We know, Lord, that yes, the enemy is at work, but that we can hear Your voice, that You're speaking, You're dealing, Lord, with Your people. And we thank You for that. And we thank You, Lord, that there is a stirring among us. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord, for that stirring. Thank You, Lord, that You are sending people into our services. And Lord, I ask, Lord, that there will be those coming in, Lord, that are hungering for You and desiring more of the things of God, desiring to know You, Lord. And I ask You, Lord, would You just do a work in our lives that this sanctuary would be a place where there is real life, a quickening work of the Spirit of God, where there is life and power and anointing. Oh, Lord, do a work among us here in this place, we pray. And Lord, would You help us, Lord, individually to sharpen the edge, to make sure that the edge is sharp, Lord, so that the convicting work of the Spirit, that every effort, every song and testimony and prayer and every word that is spoken, Lord, that will carry with it a keen, sharp edge that will touch the hearts of people, and they will recognize that this is truly a work of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.